You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
It's going to be fourth down. Last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to this.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen's jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
Are you seniors? Will you let
this
be taken away from you? No, sorry. No way.
You must go seize the
moment. It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
Football, I'm your host, David Mills, and I'm joined today by John Easter, Jeff Robinson from the Flyer, and of course, Coach Kirshner. We are down here at Church's Chicken on West 10th Street, and we can't thank them enough for the hospitality they give us every week. Anyways, how are you guys doing today?
Good. Glad to be here.
Doing great. I'm sorry I wasn't with you guys last week. But
oh, yeah, we missed you last week. I totally forgot about that. But yeah, good to have you back again, Jeff.
Yep, things are good. It's a hot night, though. You were talking about that, Coach. A little bit strange. But
it's been, ever since the middle of last week. I mean, for the, you know, towards the end of September, you know, we start thinking about wearing sweatshirts outside a little bit, and but this 90-degree stuff, and when you're on turf, like all of us in our conference are, but it might be 90 outside, but on the turf it's 110, and so it just kind of zaps the energy out of you. It's been rough getting our kids fired up. You know, had the best of practice, not been the worst, but it's not been the best, and the heat doesn't help. So we'll fight through it. You know, that's the way it is. It's the same for everybody.
All right, we'll just move on to the last week's game. 41-8 win over Lawrence North Wildcats. Kind of recap the good, bad, and the ugly of that.
Well, the good was how fast our offense scored. Very efficient, threw the ball very well. They took some things away that we normally like to do. Coach DeLuna did a nice job at LN taking some things away that we like to do. But they also, in that process, gave up some other things. Our quarterback was very efficient. He ended up 15 of 16 for 295 and 5 touchdowns. Had some big pass plays to Keyshawn Tunstall and Brock Thompson and Johnny Adams. And we ran the ball well. We had a really good run out of Delbert Mims. Last touchdown before the half that put us up 34-0. Defensively, I thought we did some good things. They ended up running a lot of plays, but we always know they're going to because of the style they play. They're a 3-4 yard type offense, run the belly, run the buck sweep, keep the chains moving. They did a nice job with that. The frustrating part, you know, we averaged, I think we ran 40 plays for 456 yards, which is about 11 yards a play. They ran 78.9, which is about 2.8 yards a play. So I thought our defense played really well at times. The frustrating part was the second half, the penalties. We had a couple late hits. One was legit. One, we never touched the kid. I'm not even sure what they saw because we just didn't touch him. You know, the quarterback goes down, and we did not touch the quarterback. He tripped himself, and we got a late hit for that. One was, like I said, one was legit. We roughed the kicker. I didn't think it was a roughing. I thought it was a running into the kicker call, but they called it roughing the kicker. And that just kind of kept them keeping the ball in their hands and kept the ball out of ours. Our offense only had a couple possessions in the second half. We put one together in the fourth quarter that made it 41-0. Subbed our kickoff team out, put our JV kickoff team in. They ran the kickoff back, you know, so be it, you know. But I thought we did some good things. I thought we were physical. I thought we were flying around. We didn't have our best week of practice last week. We weren't as focused as we've been. The tough part, and you'll see this, you guys see this in the college level, you know, Ohio State plays Michigan. Ohio State plays Michigan State, and they're fired up, and they're fired up, and all of a sudden they play somebody that's not on their level and get beat because there's just that fall off, and we fought that a little bit last week. You know, we'd come off two emotional wins, one against Center Grove and one against Warren, which you beat those kind of teams back-to-back weeks, you're on this emotional high, and we just kind of didn't play with the same emotion or same intensity this time around. So I was a little disappointed on that part of it, and we'll see how we bounce this week. Obviously, it's a huge game for us.
You mentioned it. One of the things that you were very pleased about was the explosiveness of your offense again. Compare this offense to all the other teams you've had. Where would you rank this offensive unit's ability to put points on the board?
I'm not sure I can compare them. I've been the head coach 11 years, been here for 18. I can go all the way back to James Banks' junior year. You know, you got the James Banks era, the Kyle Kastner era, a lot of good quarterbacks, the Marquise Gray era, you know, Greg Rice when he came in for his 1 year, and we were pretty good.
John Polston.
You know, I don't know, and I was on the phone last night for about a half hour with Coach Delahan. I don't know that there's anything he even agreed that is comparable right now because of our ability to throw and run the ball. It's not one or the other. Last year we were pretty much a throw the ball or run Reese Taylor. We really struggled to get our backs involved in the game. We struggled up front. You know, right now Johnny Adams is averaging almost 11 yards a carry. Which is just absurd. I mean, you think about it. Delbert Mims is averaging 7 or 8 yards a carry. Joey Person's averaging 6 yards a carry. But that's also a tribute to our O-line. We return 4 starters, and, you know, we've added James Barker and DeJuan Jones in the mix there. So I'm not really answering your question because I don't know.
This may be the best.
I don't know. It's too early. We're only 6 games into it. Hopefully, we got a long way to go. But you know, you never know when that monkey jumps on your back and you just fall. But I've never been around a team in my 30 some years of coaching that through 6 games is averaging 530 yards of offense a game. That's an average. I mean, you know, last week we were down. You know, we had 456, and that's a down week. And you look at other teams around the area, and they're 250 to 300 to 350, and that's kind of the norm. That's kind of what 350 would be a good day for us. In fact, that's one of our goals, is to average 350 yards of offense a game, and we're averaging 530. You know, it's 180 more than what would be a goal for us. So, you know, I think we're doing a good job protecting the football. We've thrown 4 picks. We had our first fumble Friday night. Now we've dropped the ball
Sorry
on the
about
ground
that,
before.
Coach, on
yeah.
the fumble.
Yeah, we've
uh-huh.
dropped the grab ball on the ground, but we've been able to get it back. This is the first one we've lost. The one thing we point of emphasis that we haven't gotten is turnovers. We're even. We've got given up 5 and we've gotten 5, and I thought we could have had a few picks Friday night and didn't get it. But it's tough to compare because this group's so balanced. I think we average 250 yards rushing a game and 270 passing a game. So it's like, well, okay, pick your poison, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah, real quick story. I was doing the game Friday night, and we had just said on the air, I mean, literally the play before, I mean, we were talking about how the Giants hadn't fumbled. And I said, yeah, can't remember them fumbling. I can't remember them losing a fumble all year. Grant says, no, they haven't lost a fumble all year. And he sets up the play. He's like, you know, hands it off and goes, oh, it's fumbled.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was just –
I thought we were going to score. I thought he was going to break the last tackle and score.
It was just exactly like the announcer's jinx. So I have to apologize for the fumble, Coach.
Just don't say it again.
I won't. I learned my lesson.
Yeah.
But as you look at this team, and I think Jeff asked a great question, really haven't seen this kind of team at Ben Davis since – the 91 Ben Davis team that won the national championship. You haven't really seen this kind of team in Indiana football since maybe that 2006 Warren team.
Which was great.
But the difference between this team and that team is that team didn't really throw the ball.
No, they were a run team.
They were a run first team.
And very good at it.
Yeah, and had a great offensive line up front to block. But, you know, I was crunching some numbers. You know, I like to do. As you know, you've scored 296 points on the year. The 91 team has scored 292 to this point. They'd only given up 44, though. You've given up 92, so there's a little difference there. Most of that was the Pike game. But if you go and you look at the Warren team that year, from that year, they gave up 61 to this point in the year, and it scored 327.
Wow, that's a lot of points.
But they had, you know, obviously one of them was the bad night for Ben Davis.
The 76-7. You can say it. I lived it, man.
Okay,
it's part of me.
This team does compare very favorably, at least when you look just straight up at points, mm-hmm. to those teams, and those were probably the two best Indiana high school football teams that we've seen. Of course, some people at Penn might yell at me. And some people prior to the playoff era might yell at me. I know Evansville Wrights had some great, great football teams down there. I think they had 1 year where they only gave up 7 points all year.
The whole year, yeah.
But when you look at this team, if you're a defensive coordinator, this is what we kept talking about in the booth. What do you do? I mean, obviously, you mentioned Ruben DeLuna had an excellent
game plan. Great coach.
And, you know, the other teams, they seem to want to take things away from you. You know, the old Bill Belichick, which he always takes away what you do well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you do everything well, how frustrating would it be? Well, you're a defense, you know, you coach defense, so you see this offense every day. How frustrating is it to try to stop?
Well, we don't. We have competitions every day. We have goal line competitions. We have 2-minute drill competitions, and rarely do we win. I mean, it's a rarity that we win the competition because of what they do offensively so well. With Reese's ability to throw and run, with our receivers, and there's 4 or 5 guys we throw the ball to, and they all go, and that's not counting the throwing to the running backs out of the backfield. You know, I'm just talking pure receivers with Brock and Keyshawn and Jermaine and TK and Brent, and then you throw to the running backs. You throw to Joey. You throw to Johnny. You know, Johnny had 2 big catches last week for 60-some yards. So and the way Coach Ferris spreads the field, I mean, it forces you. We're not, you know, everybody thinks we do all these magical things. We run 2 formations. You know, it's not we're going to run shoot and we're going to run trips. That's it. I mean, somebody say, "Oh, you're giving away your secrets." There's no secrets. That's the only 2 formations we run. You know, it's like, you know, we're playing last week. Lawrence North ran. We counted 15 different formations, 15 different alignments by receivers and running backs. So your kids are do this if they do this. This is it. We go 2x2 and 3x1, and so they automatically know how we're going to line up. What you don't know is in that lineup, we've got this kid matched up on this kid, and we got a mismatch. You know, and everything with Reese is in the way Coach Ferris does it is a read. It's a read. So if the safety does this, you're going to this. If the safety does this, you go to this. And the ability for him to see that is rare in a high school kid. A lot of times your high school kids, you're just hoping they do the basics of what you want done. He's elevated his game to another level.
Well, and I think there was one play in the Lawrence North game that I think really kind of typifies this team and the attitude that they seem to have that maybe is different than the attitude of maybe some of those teams other than the 3 that we talked about that were just really bullies on the field. I mean, those, you know, that 91 team, that team was a bully on
physical.
The field. Very physical.
Yes, very.
The Warren team, very physical. When you look at this team, Delbert Mims and his run the other night where the poor Lawrence North kid tried to stop him.
Yeah.
That was as big of a hit I've seen delivered by a running back, period.
Yeah.
As long as I've been watching high school football all my life, pretty much, because before I came to Ben Davis, I watched a lot of high school football up at Broderpool and with my dad, and that was as big as of a hit as I've ever seen.
I've not been around too many, and I've seen some big hits. Obviously, I've seen some from the defensive side with Antonio Allen and some of them, but for that kid to come up and him to throw a forearm and just flat back that kid and then just keep right on running was pretty impressive. You know, it was, but we have a little bit of that. We have some toughness too. I mean, especially on the defensive side, we got some tough kids playing defense, and you know, we got to get better. We're not where we want to be as coaches, or we wouldn't practice. If we were where we want to be, we'd tell them to go home, but we don't. So,
well, we got about 2 minutes until we're supposed to go to break. Do you guys have any more questions before we send it over there?
I would just say you mentioned the defense. It is improving. I mean, certainly I think at the start of the year that was probably the weakness of the team from offense, special teams, and defense. It was probably defense. That's hard to say because they are so good.
Right.
But talk a little bit about how they've come along.
Well, probably the biggest improvement is up front. You know, we lost some really good kids, and Big O, who's at Minnesota, and Minor, who's at IU, and we lost Moody and Miles, and we only returned Willie, you know, and we've replaced those guys with a sophomore D-tackle, Malik Temple, who's, if you'd have told me we'd be playing a sophomore up front, you know, with our numbers, but he's just really good, he's really coachable, he's really into it, great kid, good student. You know, we got Kwon Emerson, the other tackle, Miguel Osorio. Those guys were both JV players last year. At ends, you got Damon Banks. Fabian played some varsity end last year, so he had a little bit of both. And DeAndre McCollum, another junior, Ravion Tharp. So probably the biggest area where we've been the most pleased is our defensive line, because we really were worried that we get pounded. We get physically beat, and we might. You know, one of the strengths of Carmel is their offensive line and their ability to push people around. So it'll be interesting, but that'd be the biggest one for me.
I'd like to ask you, in terms of your perspective on the Mick race, you're obviously at the top. How surprised are you to see Lawrence North sitting at the bottom without a win up to this point?
Surprised, because they are physical. I mean, they're physical. I think their quarterback is going to be special. He's a junior, very athletic young man. They got Bond, who runs the ball. But talking to Pat before the game, they've been hit by a plethora of injuries. I mean, he told me he had three ACLs, one broken arm, one busted shoulder. All five were starters. And they don't have quite the numbers we have. He's running about 60 kids, 10 through 12. You know, I've got 150, 10 through 12. So when I lose a kid, there's another kid maybe that can still play. They start getting down to where they're not quite the same athletic talent. And they're young. You know, he's going to return a lot of kids on offense, and he'll be much better next year. But our conference, like I've told everybody all along, when they get you down, our conference holds you down. And the other thing we fight in this society today is we're very transient. So if I don't like the way, and I had kids leave my program this year, they're playing for crosstown rivals, but if I don't like the way you're playing, I'm just going to get up and move and go to another school and play. Or if you're not winning or you're not helping me get to a D1 college scholarship, I'm going to go play for somebody who is. And so you don't want to get down, or you don't want to stay down, because they'll hold you down.
All right, anything else, guys? All right, we're going to send it back to the studio, Reggie back at the studio, for a one-minute break, and then we'll come back with the second half of the show.
WBDG thanks Church's Chicken at 7224 West 10th Street for its support of this WBDG sports broadcast. Church's is open from 10:30 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. daily. Church's offers a variety of chicken, fish, wings, and side dishes, as well as snacks, finger foods, and honey butter biscuits. Church's Chicken can be reached at 317-644-0574. WBDG thanks Church's Chicken for its support of this sports broadcast. This WBDG sports broadcast is made possible by Build Your Future Indiana. 2 million skilled construction jobs are in demand nationwide. This increased demand means job security for those who are certified to work in construction. And 20% of the workforce will retire in the next 5 years. Starting wages for craft professionals range from $17 to $30 per hour. To find out how to go pro in construction, visit indiana.byf.org.
All right, and we are back here. Second half of the show, we're going to be talking about this Friday's game against the Carmel Greyhounds. It's homecoming. Tell us a little bit how you guys are preparing. I know this is the second day of practice you've had today, mm-hmm. and you know it was really hot and stuff you explained, but tell us what you're looking for in film and how you're preparing for them.
Well, we got to prepare better tomorrow than we did today. You know, we were pretty average out there. I don't know if it was the heat, like I explained, or what, but we got to prepare better. Here's what we're going to get. Like we always get with Carmel. John Hebert does a great job. His kids are very disciplined. They're very well coached. They rarely turn it over. They rarely have penalties. They've got a very good kicking game. Their kickoff guy is excellent. Their field goal guy is excellent. They rugby punt it, and he averages about 42 yards a punt, which is absurd. He's very good at what he does. So they're very efficient there. Offensively, they got a very good running back in number 16, Hunt. Klaus is one of the top receivers in the conference. They returned their quarterback in McDonald, who shredded us last year. Absolutely. We've taken it personally, but he absolutely just shredded us throwing the ball last year. I think he ended up with 5 touchdowns and, I don't know, maybe hundreds of yards, and the fourth quarter just lit us up. So he's got a big-time arm, big-time quarterback, knows what he's doing, smart kid. The other thing you always get with Carmel is this very large, very physical offensive line. And they're one guard, 6'4", 305. They're 6'3", 6'4", 6'5". So that's going to be a problem. But I think one of their major strengths is their defense. I think their front seven. I know they got some kids with some D1 offers. I think they're very active. They're very physical. They blitz very well. And so they're not giving up many points. You know, you were talking about how many points we've given up through six games. I think they're about the same.
103.
Yeah. So same as us. The difference is we score a little bit more than they score, but they're coming on a three-game winning streak. You know, they beat Pike, and then they turn around and beat Lawrence North, and they beat North Central last week. So they're 4-2. They kind of rebounded from a slow start. So we're expecting a real tough physical game. And we're going to have to be ready. I told our kids on Saturday when we got done with film, I said, if you still don't remember what happened up there last year and it still doesn't bother you, then you're not a competitor, because it's bothered me for 11 months or 12 months. And I said, that feeling of, you know, we walked out of there. I think our offense had 600 yards of offense that night and got beat. You know, and I said, as a defensive guy most of my life, I take that personal. You know, and so if you didn't, because a lot of those kids were in that game, then there's something wrong with you. You're not a competitor. So,
you look at Carmel's offense there, and they really don't seem to be putting up the points at maybe a normal rate for them compared to past years. Where do you think they're running into problems from that standpoint?
It's a good question, and they're not putting it up as much. You know, they beat Pike 21-18. They beat North Central 10-9. They lost to Trinity 31-3. They lost to Center Grove 31-10. They beat Noblesville 31-0. They're just a little bit more of what I would call a ball control offense. They're not hitting the big plays. Last year they had two really good receivers in Jalen Walker, who went to Miami of Ohio, and Ethan Merriweather, who went to Ball State. And, they had two good ones. They had a good running back. Last year they had a big old tight end, H-back, who went to Nebraska. They had an offensive lineman go to Purdue. Another offensive lineman went to Western Michigan. So right there on their offense, they had five Division I kids. And so I don't know if they have the same pop to what they're doing, but they're also smart enough to realize that. So they're content to run the power and the sweep and the zone play and do like Lawrence North does, and we'll go 4 yards, 3 yards, 4 yards, move the chains and keep you from getting the ball. We got to find a way to control their offensive line, not getting a push, running us off the field, and controlling the ball and giving our offense options, you know, and giving our offense possessions. And that's, you know, that's something we always tell our defense. If we can give our offense enough possessions, we're probably going to be okay. But if they don't let us have the ball and our offense can't get enough possessions, I'll take you back to the Center Grove game. We had the ball three times in the first half. We scored on two of them. Well, three is not enough. You got to give the offense the ball five times a half minimum. Now, in the second half against Center Grove, we ended up with, I think, five possessions if you count taking the knee, and we scored on four of them. You know, but they're going to try and do the same thing to us, slow us down.
You talked about some of the past results this year for Carmel. They could easily be 2-4. Because, you know, two of those games were very close with Pike and North Central. And, you know, Pike obviously beat Lawrence Central, so, you know, they get up. They've been up and down a little bit this year. The North Central game, of course, North Central's better this year.
Very much.
Carmel's a defending state champion. Do you think this is where Coach Hebert saw his team at this point this year?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. I don't know. I knew he was going to lose a lot. He lost 10 starters on the offense. You know, he returned three or four kids on the defense, and that's kind of their strength a little bit. And, you know, when you saw his preseason stuff back in August when it came out in the magazines, you know, he talked about they were going to experience some growing pains over the course of the season. So, you know, it's tough. You know, his last part of the schedule is pretty tough. He's got us Friday. He's got Warren next Friday. He's got LC the Friday after that. That's a tough three-game stretch. And then you get a week off, and you're in your sectional where, you know, he's got Lafayette Jeff, who's sitting at 6-0, and Westfield, who's 4-2, and obviously Noblesville, who's struggling at 1-5. So,
but a Noblesville team that almost beat Westfield, didn't they?
Yeah, they lost 35-26.
Yeah.
I talked to Jason up at Noblesville. They're just struggling. They've had a lot of injuries. They're not what they thought they were going to be as far as physically because of the injuries. So, you know, it's I don't know. I don't know if John's happy where he's at. I mean, it's a little reminiscent of us in 14. We came back in 15. We had some good kids in Evans and Story, but we didn't have enough, you know, and I think we finished that year 6-5 and struggled. At one point, I think we were 3-4, you know, and then won our last two, beat North Central, beat Lawrence Central to get to 5-4, beat Pike in the tournament, and then lost to a tough one to Avon, 27-22 or something like that in the sectional final. So, you know, it's when you lose that kind of, you know, I think total, they lost 8 Division I kids off their team last year. That's a bunch of kids to replace. You know, it'll be, when we're sitting here next year, that'll be the same discussion we're having because we're going to lose a bunch of kids.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't this your senior class, whenever they came in as freshmen, one of the smaller classes at Carmel in terms of turnouts?
Yeah it was. It wasn't the same number of seniors they're used to. But we're all, if you start looking around the area, everybody's experiencing a drop or decline in the number of kids and participating. But I think I shared that a few weeks ago on the radio. It's not just football that's seeing a decline in sports. Sports nationwide, basketball, soccer, everybody, I was talking to the guys at USA Football that study this, everybody's seeing a decrease in the number of kids playing sports nationally at all levels. And I think it's just other things. I think the electronic age is taking over, and there's other things for kids to do, and that's okay. You know, sports aren't for everybody. Back when I was a kid, there was, you know, my mom and dad's black and white TV that got 4 channels was boring. So you went out and played ball. You know, that's just what you did.
All right. Well, you talked about Carmel being a ball control offense and stuff, and how Lawrence North, they kept the defense out there a lot, and, you know, it kind of wears them down a little bit. They did good, but against Carmel, you said McDonald, the quarterback, shredded you guys last year and everything. Against them, do you think the defense will get tired, or do you think they'll stay strong within this if they do control the ball?
If they control the ball, then it's on us. You know, we're always talking about 3-and-out. You know, it's very possible that they just control us. You know, I hope not. You know, I hope we find a way. We've done pretty well. Avon's a good running team, and, you know, they scored on us pretty easily early. Warren's a good running team, and they did the same thing. And then we find a way to kind of bow up and fight as the game goes along. I do like the way our kids compete as the game goes along. We don't stop competing. And so we'll see. You know, that's why we play the game. We're not sure. You know, we just know we're playing a good football team.
Is there a particular offensive scheme that you think gives your defense more problems than any other?
Probably more of the wing T type stuff, because it's just not something we see a lot of. We know we're going to get at Center Grove and LN, and you know, it's the misdirection off of it, the buck sweep boots, and then when they really get you going, when Eric and Pat Mallory get you going, is they're wing T, wing T, wing T, and all of a sudden, boom, they're spread, and you're back to thinking, oh, they can do this, 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 and this, and the idea that they can keep changing back and forth. You know, when you see us, we're giving you this. You know, we're spread, and this is what we're going to do. You know, they're kind of running the mix of two offenses. They'd rather stay wing T and just beat you up, but they don't have to.
So you feel that's a bigger challenge for you than maybe a team like Carmel that comes in very balanced?
Right, very much so. It's you know, now Carmel can still get you. They do some different things formation-wise that gives us some fits, but just the idea that you're switching from a wing T to a spread. Everybody else is, you know, Carmel spread, LC spread, you know, everybody else we play kind of spreads you out. And as they say, basketball on turf type thing, spreads you out and shoot the ball. So,
well, I think we ask this question every year, so I'll ask it. Homecoming, good thing or bad thing for the team as you're getting set to go?
I used to think bad. I used to think it was a distraction, but there's so many things that distract our kids now that I stopped worrying about it a few years back. You know, we'll have a pep session on Friday. I used to worry about those. But you know what? You're only a kid once. I remember when I was a football player, and it's fun. It's neat. You get recognized. You have a little bit of fun. You know, you just hope our kids are mature enough to handle it. And you know, we have been. There hadn't been too much that's distracted us. You know, we were going to Center Grove, and the traffic was so bad, and we got off at 67 and worked our way back, and took us an hour and 20 minutes to get there. And you're thinking, no, this ain't good. We've been on a hot bus for you know what? They got off the bus, got dressed, went out and played, you know. And so you kind of hope they can just deal with it, you know, that they're smart enough. And we're senior laden, so you hope your leaders take over and deal with it.
All right, any more questions from you guys? All right, we're going to send it to you for your last little comments.
Well, Purple Rain's been great. I think it's Neon Night, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not positive on that. Thought the student crowd was a little light Friday. I thought the parent crowd was very good. But this is homecoming. You know, this is your school. And I think you need to come out and support this team. They're doing some good things. I want to give a shout-out to the boys' soccer for winning the MIC and Robert Lewis and his guys. I thought that was awesome. First time in school history. I think they've won the conference. Conference has existed since 96. I think it's the first time our boys have ever won conference.
Yeah, when you consider who's in this conference with Center Grove and Pike and North Central, and those are all soccer powers.
So, you know, shout-out to Coach Lewis and Coach Collada for accomplishing something that's pretty neat. And I'm happy for them, and I'm happy for the boys' soccer team. But Purple Rain needs to get out there in force. It's going to be a beautiful night, and, you know, it's time to pay back the Greyhounds from last year.
This series is dead even, 21 each. So
they've won at 21, we've won at 21. I think somebody on John Harrell's site said the last 33 meetings, it's 18 Ben Davis and 15 Carmel last 33.
Carmel is the only one to ever really win a lot in a row.
Yeah.
In this, I mean, it's been three here, four here.
Right.
You know, back and forth, back and forth.
They've won the last two.
And I will say, this is probably not what Coach wants here. It does tend, at least recently, to favor the underdog. Yeah. So they could definitely use your support on Friday night.
Yep. Yep, most definitely.
All right, well, that's going to wrap things up here at Church's Chicken. Thank you guys for coming out every week on Tuesdays. This is another edition of Inside Ben Davis Football. We'll be here every Tuesday starting at 7 o'clock, and we're going to send it back to Reggie at the studio.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.